Our passage tonight is again in Proverbs, this time Proverbs chapter 6, then I'll be reading verses 16 through 19. Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 19. Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness that speaks or who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. Theology is the study of God. Jesus praying to God the Father prays, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Knowing God, knowing any person, involves knowing their likes and their dislikes. Even what somebody hates is an important part of knowing someone. I dislike, or maybe you could say I hate, mayonnaise. And some of you have noticed that, and you don't put mayonnaise on the sandwiches if you know I'm going to eat one. And that's very nice of you to do that because you care for me. Because you say, hey, he hates mayonnaise, I'm not going to make a sandwich with mayonnaise on it. And you change what you do for my benefit. How much more important is it to know what God hates and avoid those things? He hates because he is righteous in his hatred, and he's also able to punish. And so here we read of six things that the Lord hates, even seven that are an abomination to him. And the first of these six or seven things is a proud look. A proud look in verse 16, or actually verse 17, a proud look. Pride goes before destruction, it says in Proverbs 16, 18, and a haughty spirit before the fall. Proverbs 21, 4 says, a haughty look, a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked are sin. A proud look on the outside usually is connected to a proud heart and a haughty spirit inside, and wickedness, and the plowing of the wicked are sin. They plow, most people plow. If you're plowing to grow plants and grow something good, the wicked plow. They labor to do evil. That's the idea that is said here. And it is no coincidence that Pride Month is a celebration of sexual perversion and sin. God hates, avoids, and ultimately destroys the proud man or the proud woman. In James 4, 6, it says, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. All through Scripture, pride and humility are contrasts, almost like light and darkness, almost like good and evil. Humility is always something that God honors, always something that he considers good, and pride is always wicked. Pride is not only the opposite of humility, but it is also the opposite of true godly prayer. Sinatra sings My Ways, the song My Way, and part of the words of that is, and not the words of someone who kneels. The idea of kneels there is kneeling in prayer. And some people are proud, they think they never need to kneel in prayer or ask God for any help. And they're really destroying themselves. Second, among the six things or seven things that God hates, is a lying tongue. A lying tongue. This proverb starts, as I said, with these six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are abomination to him. And why does Solomon say it like that? Six things or seven things. Is Solomon confused about what God hates? No, he's not. No, he just knows that there's one thing that God hates so much that he gave it two spots on this list, and that is lies. Here in verse 17b, a lying tongue is the second thing God hates. And then a false witness who speaks lies, verse 19. You could say, are those six things because they're both lies? Or is false witness a little different and making it seven? Well, Solomon decided to include both kinds of lies, I believe, because lying is such a devilish evil. Lying is a devilish, satanic characteristic, and the Lord hates lying. You are of your father the devil, Jesus says, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Notice how lying and murder are connected together in Jesus' words. Bearing false witness, verse 19, is referring to a courtroom or a judicial circumstance. And the stakes of lying in that circumstance are raised higher. Either the innocent are falsely accused, or the guilty are lied about to evade justice, or both things are together. It is one of the Ten Commandments, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. False witnesses were brought to speak against our Lord Jesus Christ. It says in Matthew 26, 59 through 61, now the chief priests, the elders, and all the council sought false testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Even though many false witnesses came forward, they found none. But at last, two faultless witnesses came forward, and this said, this fellow said, I am able to destroy this temple and build it up in 3 days. Well, Jesus really did say that, and yet it's a lie that he did anything wrong in saying that, because that's what he actually did when he rose from the dead. They destroyed that temple, and he rose it, or he made it rise again in 3 days. And yet we see even somebody as good as Jesus, they bring false witness against him. And when we get to false witness again, I'll say a little bit more about these things. But here I just wanted to show, why is there six or seven? It's because lying takes two of these spots. I believe it could either be one or it could be two. And I think Solomon is looking at that. Number three, though, is hands that shed innocent blood. Hands that shed innocent blood. Obviously, killing Christ fit into this category. So again, Matthew 27, 3 and 4. Then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, was remorseful and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders and saying, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. Now, he sinned worse than that. He was betraying the Son of God. But he knew Jesus was innocent. And that's all. And that by itself was a sin. No one else in this world is innocent in the way that Jesus is. But many are innocent of crimes they may have falsely been accused of. Psalm 94, 21 says, they gather together against the life of the righteous and condemn innocent blood. Abortion fits into the hands that shed innocent blood category. I think if the only way some might argue against this is if a woman was raped. You know, she has a right. Why would she want to see that baby of the man who raped her all her life? And you could argue that. And yet if that's the case, the first one who should die would be the rapist. And that's not really happening. The rapist is never killed anymore. And so the guilty rapist should die first, because he's not, the baby is innocent, unless the rapist is not. Even this is not the unforgivable sin. Both David and the Apostle Paul were forgiven murderers. In 1 Timothy 1, 15 and 16, Paul says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus might show all longsuffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. Meaning the worst of sinners found grace in Jesus' eyes as a pattern for all the rest of the bad sinners. And so while Paul was a murderer, David was a murderer, that means even a murderer can find grace in God's eyes. And yet murder, the murder of innocent blood, is one of those things which God hates. Number four, a heart that devises wicked plans. A heart that devises wicked plans. In Micah 2:1, something similar is said. It says, "Woe to those who devise iniquity and work out evil on their beds. At morning light they practice it, because it's in the power of their hand." What do you think of at night? What do you dream of? What do you think of when you first wake up in the morning? Well, here it's saying there are people who wake up in the morning and they're still in bed, and the first thing they're thinking of is, what evil can I do today? What nasty trap can I set? What horrible thing can I do? And he's saying there are people like that. They have hearts that defies wicked plans. God and Jesus know what's in our hearts. Jesus says, "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies." That makes it something that is normal for all of us, unless we fight it, unless we are saved. He knows our hearts better than we do. Jeremiah 17:9-10 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruits of his doing." Our own hearts will deceive us. They'll make us think that we're better than we are. But God sees and knows all. He understands exactly where we are. And that's why one of the good reasons for reading Scripture and studying it, because the Scripture cuts to our hearts. It shows us our evil. It shows us things that we might not want to see otherwise. I saw a quote this week by G. Campbell Morgan, and it says something like this. I haven't memorized it, at least not yet. But basically it was saying, men have an idea or a vision of what they want Jesus to be, but they should have a vision of who Jesus really is, whether they want it or not, something like that. And we have a vision also of what we want our hearts to be, but our hearts are not usually that. But God sees and knows all, and God judges not just evil actions, but he judges evil thoughts. It says in Genesis 6:5, "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." That's before God brought the flood upon the earth. Before he destroyed the earth, one of the reasons he did that was every thought he saw in every man's heart was only evil. But not only is it the heart that devises wicked plans, but then number five, feet that are swift in running to evil. Feet that are swift in running to evil. Speed, we need speed, speed. That's what we need, greasy, fast speed. That's Mickey from the Rocky movies. Rocky needed more speed to fight. And some people want more speed to do wicked things. They can't do them fast enough. They want to do more evil. But we should have speed rather in doing what is right and good. The psalmist says in Psalm 119:60, "I made haste and did not delay to keep your commandments." They wanted to be first to do what's right. They wanted to be speedy to do what is good. And yet running to do evil is more often the case. Romans 3:15 says, "Their feet are swift to shed blood." People make money shedding blood. They go here and there killing. Wars are started for that purpose. Converted feet are the best. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. John Bunyan wrote, run, John, run, the law demands, but gives us neither feet nor hands. What better news the gospel brings? It bids us fly and gives us wings. God gives us more than feet to do what is right. He gives us feet, and he says, he gives us wings, and he says that we can mount up with wings as eagles when we wait upon the Lord. Again now, number six, a false witness who speaks lies. A false witness who speaks lies. I covered this a bit under point number two, but here I'll add a little bit more. Here I'll add that the repetition of this sin emphasizes how bad it is. In Scripture, whenever somebody repeated something, they were emphasizing how horrible it was. And out of all these sins that God hates, six and seven, there's one that is six, either there's a total of six or there's a total of seven, but number two and number six are the same. Here I will add, I'm glad my mother put mustard on dirty socks. She taught me not to lie. That was part of what she did. She made it clear to us, to me and my two brothers, that lying is a bad thing. And we all grew up knowing that. And I believe Solomon is doing the same here by repeating, about false witness and lying. Having both of them in here is communicating that. And also, a false witness is a dreadful, hurtful thing. It's interesting. Proverbs 25:18 says, a man who bears false witness against his neighbor is like a club, a sword, and a sharp arrow. He doesn't have just one weapon. He has a club to hit you on the head with, a sword to stab you in the heart, and a sharp arrow in case you try to run away. That's what a false witness has. They want to beat you in every way they can, and they will lie to do it, telling all sorts of lies to destroy you. We see this. It's a main thing in politics today. Tell lies about your opponent, and you can beat them to a pulp. Number seven, one who sows discord among brethren. And one who sows discord among brethren, sowing discord among brethren, destroys something beautiful and precious. Psalm 133:1 says, behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. This is something that's the best thing when you see people, just like I spoke at church at least last week about how God wants us or Jesus wants us to love one another with the love of Christ. How bad is it when somebody comes in and wants to turn people against each other? They're trying to mess that up. That new commandment that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another, this person is not only disobeying that, but he's trying to make other people disobey that. It's an attempt to go against the work of God's Spirit and the work of God's true servants. God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, brings people together in unity. It says in Ezekiel 11, 19 and 20, then I will give them one heart, meaning a unified heart, and I will put a new spirit within them, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Important here is, is the one heart. They have one heart in an agreement. They agree with God's commands. They are led by God's Spirit. And it's because God is in them. But someone who just sows discord doesn't like that. They don't want that to happen. God's servants. I quoted this passage also last week where it says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints to, for the work of ministry, to the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to a measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We are, as ministers, to bring unity about, not by sacrificing doctrine and truth, but by teaching it. And we see, again, somebody who's showing discord is against that. It's also, sowing discord is opposite of what Jesus Christ calls a blessing. Jesus says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." What's the opposite of a peacemaker? Somebody who sows discord among the brethren. If the peacemakers are sons of God, guess who the discord makers are? They are sons of the devil. They are the opposite of what is good and blessed. In another parable, Jesus in Matthew 13 says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field, but while men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way." Basically, what this is saying is in the church, the enemy, the devil, sows tares among the wheat, meaning he puts his own spies or his own people in the church, and they pretend to be Christians, but why are they there? They're there not to unify the church. They're not there to build up the church. They're there to sow discord in the church. And this is why this sin is such a bad sin. It's the devil's work. It's not God's spirit work. It's not God's minister's work. It's the work of the devil and false teachers. And so we see there are six things or seven things that the Lord hates, including lying, which basically lying and false witness are two of these. Either if you have false witnesses separate from lying, then there's seven. If you have lying and false witness as one and the same thing, there's six. But also there's murder. Also there's this sowing of discord among the brethren. There's the proud, haughty look. I already talked about the lying tongue, but there's hands that shed innocent blood. All of these things are things that God hates and things that we should avoid. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this passage. It's very plain. It's very clear. It's very obvious that there are certain things that we as Christians, we who are your followers, we should avoid. We should avoid them like the plague, the things that you hate. And we pray that you'd help us to do that. I thank you that for the most part, at least that I've seen in our church, we do avoid these things. And I thank you for that. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we do have one more song. And we have time, I guess, to sing it if you want to. Number 693. So.